place for me.
Well, the unwrinkled ear found himself in a business kitchen this afternoon. And I saw a sign about business abuse. You can report it, I guess. You can get hurt by it, I think. Pretty much 25 and a half hours a day we get hurt by it. Little business abuse. And I got the hotline for the business abuse reporting. Before I give that to you, though, gonna start out this week. And I got, it's gonna be a slugfest on the Unwrinkled Ear this week. For one thing, I didn't do my show last week. For another, I've been shipped across the country to pick up some stuff for the ear unwrinkling, and I've been shipped too from all over the place. It's just full. Right now we got a Gunnar Mueller Steinbrückel duet called Perspectives. This is Paris. Recorded between December 2003 and May of 2004, but when I was over on the other side, I was actually in Homeville, Pennsylvania, drinking 100% raw milk that had been set out to room temperature, and eating sea vegetable pudding. Do not call them weeds. And a lot of fermented foods. And the guy who was doing all that for me was like, hey, I got the new Kenji Hake album. You want to hear it? Oh boy. We're going to start out with that. And you know what? Once you spell it one time, you write it down physically, you will never misspell it. It's K-O-E-N-J-H-I-Y-A-K-K-E-I. And if you can make it through the first 20 seconds of this, because it's really dense, then just know that at the 3-minute mark, there's a massive reward. But there's even a little reward after the 20-second mark. This is the 7th track from their new album, Anger Sispa, Kenji Ake.
Each other is the day you will find. Because I'm drunk, bring my thoughts.
Yes. I love soil.
I'm a would-be author, so my life won't... I'm a would-be author, so my life won't be complete until I have something published. I'm a would-be author, so my life won't be complete... I'm a would-be author, so my life won't be complete until I have something published. I write mostly stories about animals I've known. I'm putting all those stories in a book. I've already picked out a title for the book. Be kind to your pet because your pet could be your best friend. They really can. They can become part of your family as easily as your children. And they stay true to you, no backstabbing. I never had a cat or dog turn on me. Now here's something that happened to me. My husband, Phil, knew I liked cats, especially black ones. One of his jobs at the dairy was to drive a tanker truck to farms and pick up milk. At one farm, he saw a cat with a new litter of kittens. Phil asked the farmer for the black kitten. The farmer said, sure, take all of them if you want to. And Phil said, no thanks, I just want the black one for my wife. As so often happens with black cats, this one had white whiskers. Jan noticed this and said we should name her Whiskers. Judy was petty and said, no, her fur is so soft, it feels like velvet. So we should name her Velvet. To stop a family argument, I said, why don't we compromise? We'll take the first three letters from Whiskers and the last three from Velvet, and we'll name her Wivet. If we had taken the first three of Whiskers and the first three of Velvet, her name would have been Wivel. Or the first three from Velvet and the end of Whiskers, she would have been Velskers. I liked Wivet better. She was a very affectionate kitten. She liked to be held and petted and purred a lot to show her gratitude. That was Wivet. Here, Wivet. Wivet. I'm a would-be author, so my life won't be complete until I have something published.
You know, I personally like Velskers. I think they should have been calling that cat Velskers.
Will this stone you when you're walking down the street? This stone you when you're standing on your feet? This stone you when you're trying to read a book? They'll stone you, and then they'll say, good luck. But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stone you when you're trying to rule them quick. They'll stone you when you're right here on your night. They'll stone you when you get the kitchen table. They'll stone you when you're young and able. But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. I feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. Well, they stone you when you're sleeping there at home. And they stone you when you're eating out in Rome. They stone you when you're trying to be successful. They stone you when you're trying on a dress. Oh, but I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned.
Chad Monster, we'll never forget you. From his duo tour collection, I think it's up to like 3 CDs now, touring around, playing with Paul Lovins. Well, I guess 2 CDs. Well, there's the 2 CDs on Leo and the 1 on Victo, and then there's the 3 handmade ones that he does, which I highly recommend, if only for the photographs of Lovins and Chadbourne on the inside. Chadbourne's got a book, you know. And actually, I was looking through it. It's a musician's guide, you know, underground musician's guide to dealing with everything. And I saw there's one section that I'm actually thinking about trying to check out, because one section is about how to deal with putting your stuff on consignment in stores, and then you go to the store and they don't have it. Like, you know, you go in a year later and you're like, hey, you sold any of my shit? And they can't find it, and you're like, well, hey, if you can't find it, you gotta pay me. Dealing with stuff like that. So I was just in Baltimore at this High Zero Music Festival, and one of the musicians there is this guy, Mazen Kerbaj, and he's one of the real instigators of the current Beirut, Lebanon free improvising music scene. Looks like there's about 10 of them. And actually, there's an article about him in Coda magazine I saw, actually, after I came home. So from Notice of Chadbourne Importunities to Notions of Oriental Space, we're going to a record that Mazen Kerbaj plays on, Franz Hautzinger's Oriental Space, with Helge Hinteregger on sampler, both Mazen and Franz on trumpet, and Sharif Sanui on guitar. This is Najum Funk. That's my kind of funk. So when I was reading that Mazen Kerbaj and thing about the whole Lebanon scene in the most recent issue of Coda, it talked about how Mazen, who is like 30 years old, grew up with the sounds of violence and war basically all around him, guns and things, and how his playing on trumpet is super influenced by those actual sounds, the lends a whole new thing to it. Also, I looked up the business abuse hotline, and I don't think I was looking very hard at what I was reading today at all, because what it is a employee against the employee snitch zone, where if you think somebody's like eating crackers out of the tortilla bowl and they work at the restaurant, then you call them up. So it's absolutely the wrong kind of business abuse hotline. This is not the wrong kind of earring. Fan Club Ed Erdberg, Anton Polster Dubis Letwand, coming up.
Suddenly, yes, I can. Gee, I'm afraid to go on has turned into yes, I can. Take a look, what do you see? 133 pounds of confidence in me. Got the feeling I can do anything. Yes, I can. Something that sings in my blood is telling me yes, I can. I was just born today. I can go all the way, yes. I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yeah, yes, I can. Yes, I can! Wind me up, then watch me fly. A regular sort of sunburned Superman. Are you ready? I can climb Everest. Yes, I can. I can fight here all night in Everest. Yes, I can. I have just found the key. Hey, doors swing wide for me. I was just born today. I can go all the way, yes.
Lie down under a bra. She doesn't say a word. takes her off the grass. I rub her back. She says it feels good. We continue, so I do. This gets interesting. I'm getting aroused. Guess what will happen next?
I'm going to go to the hospital.
Proof that Martin Siewert is not just a free improvising, crazy electronic nerd. Or proof that he is. Great stuff. Before that, Gong Fu Jazz, C. Neil Scott. You gotta go get this Lo-Fi Field Recordings and Answering Machine Messages 97-track CD compilation from 1990 to 2001. That particular number featured none other than Gabe Madden on guitar, Jason Skipper on drums, and C. Neil Scott on vocals. That was the Mechanical Chicken Separator from 1998. Of course, we heard the Erdberg Fan Club before that. But we all need a lot more Carly Patak in our lives.
I'm
Dear Lord Carly, thank you so much. I also forgot to mention I played Yes I Can by Sammy Davis Jr. because I actually finished reading his autobiography today. I came home from work and I was like, you know what, I'm going to finish it because I didn't, well, I wanted to take it out of my backpack so I could put a new book in there for tomorrow. But, you know, maybe I'm just too young or something. Maybe I need a soundtrack for this.
Yeah.
I guess.
I think madness is part of spirit.
Well, the yes was a good part, but I'm too young to know, and I guess this is common knowledge, but the guy postponed his wedding because he was worried it would have an effect on the election for president. I don't know if you know this. I mean, I was only born in 1976. What the fuck do I know? But the guy was marrying this white chick, May Britt, from Sweden. And Frank Sinatra was going to be his best man, and they were all campaigning for Kennedy against Nixon, and got met with so many I mean, I think it's hard to even call people carrying signs that say "Go home, nigger," a protest. But apparently, these things were actually given permits outside some of the nightclubs he played in. Of course, he was packing them, and you know, he's an incredibly popular, fantastic performer. But people were picketing outside. And things just sort of picked up steam and were really upset with Frank for being involved with them and, you know, for standing by his side through everything. I had no idea, actually, how tight the two really were as friends for a long time, and Frank even before Sammy was famous. But all that to one side for a second, they were going to get married, and then they were like, you know what, it's too much. They don't want Frank Sinatra's name and everybody else and have the wedding be associated with Kennedy and have them lose some votes. So he postponed it. Now, I actually forgot to bring any Sammy Davis Jr. with me tonight, but I was looking up just enjoying the decor in here, and I noticed the Sammy Davis Jr. sings What Kind of Fool Am I LP on the wall, and I was like, Jesus Christ, why didn't I bring any Sammy? Well, it's a good thing that I'm tremendously, I don't know what it is, paranoid about space on a CD, so I've got this CD that's got like 18 different things on it. One of them is this song, Funny Funny, by Sweet, which I was talking about at a bar in Baltimore last weekend, and these people, and I couldn't think of exactly how it went, and people thought that I was talking about sugar, sugar, blah, 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 blah. But no, I'm talking about Funny Funny. But also on the CD, there happens to be some Sammy Davis Jr., so I got a chance to play it, and that's how we heard it. And now we're going to hear probably one of the most educational songs ever recorded. This is Once You Understand by Think.
Things get a little easier once you understand. Things get a little easier.
I'll be expecting
once
you to get a haircut understand. By spring.
Forget it, Dad. That
things
won't change anything.
Once you understand,
my house.
Things get a little easier once you understand. Things get a little easier once you understand.
Things get a little. Come on, Ma. What do you want from me?
Sure, no one kept you company tonight while you were babysitting. Just curious.
To my friend's house. Oh, Ma. What are you talking about? How about your bridge club and your ladies' groups and your parties and your daytime programs? What about all that?
Ma, I'll be home at 11.
I don't understand. What's that got to do with me?
Can't figure that out. Really. I'm darn stupid.
Did you see my new guitar? I joined a group.
Son, there's a little bit more to life than joining a group or playing a guitar.
Yeah, Dad? What is there to life?
Mr. Cook?
Yes?
You have a son named Robert? Robert Cook, age 17?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Mr. Cook. You better come down to the station house. Your son is dead.
Dead? How?
He died of an overdose.
Oh, my God.
Things get a little easier once you understand. Things get a little easier once you understand. Things get a little easier once you understand.
The countdown will begin tomorrow afternoon at 2, right here on 97 Fun. Shit.
Casey can come back.
The countdown will begin this morning at 9, right here on WMNS 13. God damn, what a call letter. Let me do it again. The countdown will begin this afternoon at 1, right here on the entertaining 1410 WHLN. That sucks.
Yeah, it sounds like a question.
Forget your cares and simply interact on the magic planet Mataras. The poignant words of Zebra, Zorba, Zack give entrance to the see vividly a dream come through. Ein großes Bett, einen weißen Fleck. My mind can follow the theory of Richard Feynman, who said that a certain particle would find its way back in the past.
Unspoken groove that is invariably interpolated in a daily way of things.
You be no vicious manic, you just be fun and static. Shut that muzzle! Get it, get it, get it!
Cha-cha!
Muttering, just muttering!
what's your command, honey? Yet on spook and goof, that is invariably in a plate and in a daily way, I think.
You people ain't just mad, you just be fun and static.
Need Moy Goyette for sure.
Dagmar and I met, it was in February 1996. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dagmar. Yes, in February 96, in Berlin at the Salle Tabaki on the Kochstrasse. I had a cappuccino, and Dagmar had a triple grappa. Boy, she was a wreck. Then she ordered a piece of cake with some oysters on the side, which she ate very quickly. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dagmar.
To communicate with me, change your perspective. Cancel your internet. Trust your inner voice. Move your furniture. Talk in odd numbers. To communicate with me, change your perspective. Come through my satellite. Donate your organs. Wear your platform shoes, etc.
The second time Dagmar and I met, it was in Amsterdam. I remember the first evening we had some thyme soup, absolutely divine, with coconut milk, lemongrass, and a hint of chili pepper. For breakfast, we'd always have 500 milligrams of calcium, 500 milligrams of magnesium, 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C, and a capsule containing dried cactus. We would never enter the studio without our sunglasses on, which very much impressed the sound engineers, I think. Anyway, correct me if I'm wrong, Dagmar. Every note we played was followed by a spoonful of peppermint ice cream. Lunch, however, consisted of half a horse.
Auf ein Bär legt Thank you.
When I wake up in the morning, I think about going back to the painting I left undone the night before. In the morning, my brain works sharper, clearer, with greater understanding of the concept I had when I began to paint. I've lived 100 years, a very exciting, fruitful, and creative life, and it's due to two principles. Number one is what I put into my head. Number two is what I put into my kitchen, in my stomach. If you combine the two principles I just enunciated to you, there is no reason that you can't reach 100 years in as good a physical condition as I happen to be in. Life is beautiful. The world is absolutely, intangibly beautiful. There's so many things that one can pursue. Forget about the material things to a great extent, because material pursuit will corrode your mind. Pursue the beauties of life, and you will have a very happy life. Beauty is a varied reaction. You may love a woman that you call beautiful. I may run away from her. What your response is does not necessarily duplicate mine or my understanding of beauty. Truth and beauty are two separate concepts. We are taught from childhood on that truth is something that is palpable, that you can feel. Beauty is ephemeral and not easily touched. So there's quite a difference. The two of them are very nicely married when they are together in concert. Life is full of motion. I never stand still. Every moment adds to the richness of my understanding of life. The key is not to be afraid to make mistakes to begin with. Every human being is prone to make mistakes, but he has to have the intelligence to understand that these mistakes are not to be repeated. And by understanding that, you avoid duplicating your mistakes. Culture, whether I want it to or not, is moving, because, as I said before, there is nothing static in life. Life is a perpetual moving phenomenon. If I want to challenge something stronger than I feel I can, I move against the stream. In most cases, I take it easy and swim with the current. Beauty is in your own mind. It isn't only looking at a beautiful woman or walking into a garden and looking at beautiful flowers. You can look at a garbage can and visualize some beautiful form in it. It depends upon your imagination. I believe I've learned more from other people than from books, unquestionably from people. They might have the same amount of chemistry in their bodies, but the mutation of that chemistry in their mind produces a kaleidoscope of visions that I do not have myself. And, consequently, you learn. The great hope of any creative person is to rise to the top of their ability, to leave footprints on this planet, to be worthy of having lived among other human beings. It's an ongoing process. There's no finish, there's only a beginning in the genes of your parents. I went to Europe to study cave art and to find out the reason why men 35,000 years ago painted on the walls of caves. And I found out many things about the human beings who lived at that time. Food was the only propulsion that got them to Europe from Africa. Africa was changing climates. They had to flee the huge forest that gave them food and everything else. When the forest began to burn as a result of change of climate, they fled to Europe. And they finally found, when they got to the Pyrenees Mountains, caves to get into. Because Europe at that time was a frozen continent. There wasn't a leaf on any tree to be eaten. They had to find food. Food was the essential element for survival. How to get the food was the great problem. They discovered it by finding in the animal outside the cave the food that they needed. How to kill it was the problem. Art, in a sense, was the saving grace that permitted the human being of that period to propagate and live and result in your being here and my being here now. Food was the reason why they painted paintings in the cave. They certainly didn't want to decorate the caves. There was no need for it. But the stomach compelled them. The mind was a very, very small mind at that time. Food and the stomach were greater forces. If they couldn't feed the stomach, they couldn't live. To live, they had to kill the animals. To kill the animals, the brain had to find a way how. You know, I've never felt better in my life. I feel that I can take somebody for 3 rounds. I'm in perfect health. I was never sharper. I was never clearer mentally than I am right now, because I'm peaceful with the world. I know why I'm here, and I'm very thankful to the planet for having raised me. And I'm ready to die. If I die tomorrow or this moment, I've lived a rich life. Life is a kaleidoscope, that's all it is. You throw the bits of glass in the tube to produce a landscape that you didn't see 1 second before. Art is an inherent need for the human species, for the human being. For example, you take a child to the beach in the summertime, and before you know, the child sits there making all sorts of configurations in the sand. Angles, oblongs, lines, points, anything. He draws. It proved to me as an artist that the instinct to draw is from the cradlehood on. At the age of 12, in my youthful mind, I was attracted to a girl. To win her over, I began to write little notes of poetry. That didn't seem to work. I couldn't understand. So I decided to color it, find a crayon, color my poems red, blue, green, whatever. That worked. The girl came around. It was a budding love, a beautiful relationship, a youthful relationship, until she became mature and found out I'm not the man she wanted, and we broke up. But I stayed with the art. I'd inherited the love for color from my father. My father was a great builder of carriages for the bourgeois. At that time, in Russia, the horses drew beautiful carriages. My father was the manufacturer of those carriages. He ground his own pigment, he boiled his own oil, and he made his own wooden spokes for the wheels. Because those days we had no money to buy those things or the tools with which to do it. He did it with his 10 fingers. I have found every pleasure in life and every satisfactory incident in life through art and literature and, of course, music. But art is, to me, it tops everything. The response to color. Color has a vibratory influence over my whole being. It becomes a symphony of color. But you have to love it. You have to respond to its vibration. The imagination helps an awful lot, but to begin with, it's your feeling for color. When your mind is enlightened, many things can be accomplished. I spend my time looking to understand the beauties of life. That, to me, is the great elixir of life itself. First, an idea strikes you, and you start looking at it, and look at it, and it broadens out. It starts assuming a form. And then you create it, but there has to be a spark of ignition. Your mind must be ignited. To fulfill an impulse is to achieve satisfaction, and that's what the human being wants. That's what he needs. If you don't, it becomes a turbulence inside of you. Corrosive is the word. So a good artist will try it, look at it. If it doesn't appeal to him, didn't catch the spirit, kick your foot through it. Forget about the cost of the canvas or the paper. It doesn't mean a thing. The important thing is to bring it out. To my way of thinking, men are essentially built to do good. That's the nature of humankind. And to love. Love is the coagulant of all good things in life. Man is capable of coagulating love with everybody else. There are forces in life which are very destructive if we cannot help it. We can, in a way, mitigate the damage by using our intelligence. But essentially, we're here to do good.
on thinking about the things that make me cry. I keep on thinking about the things that make me die. But everything is sunshine when you hold my hand. If everybody knew you the way I do, people wouldn't wear frowns the way they do. 'Cause everything is sunshine when you hold my hand. Oh no, how could it be? You affect me just by holding my hand. By holding my hand. Oh no, how could it be? You affect me just by holding my hand. By holding my hand. If everybody knew you the way I do, people wouldn't wear frowns the way they do. 'Cause everything is sunshine. Everything is sunshine. Everything is sunshine.
Down for hours to write a very important song. It was meant to be about detachment. Smoked 90 cigarettes, and we drank a bottle of gin. So here it is, our very important song.
Is it really true? funny what you do, honey, honey, what you do, what you mean to me. And you know, honey, honey, though it's so funny, funny, that you mean all the world to me. And it's so funny, funny, what you do, honey, honey, what you do, what you mean to me. And you know, honey, honey, though it's so funny, funny, that you mean all the world to me. And it's so funny, funny, what you do, honey, honey, what you do, what you mean.
Copa.
Oh, it's a slow starter.